If most of the things weren't open source, we have the privilege of enjoying different software which people are actually using to make money. And as much as we're hating on some of these corporations, there are actually other businesses which are using open source for good. And I think that counts for something. And despite not viewing it as you view it, I think most of the things wouldn't have access to them if it weren't for open source, if that makes sense. So it's pros and cons, and hopefully the pros outweigh the cons at some point. I'm not saying it's so sustainable because that's why we're even having this conversation, because we're looking at, okay, people have open source, right? But then they're still going to like work on other projects that actually give them money that are not open source, but they still choose to do open source because they believe that it's for general good or something. And it's just that thing that we wish they could do better, and we're trying to do better, but then we can't erase all the difficult parts, especially when it comes to finances, because most of the projects that have been shut down is because due to finances and having the maintenance like run dry without any form of support, while other huge companies are using and are now willing to like invest back to the tools that they started using. So it's a difficult conversation, and I understand why. And thank you for not asking a question to other guests or even to me in particular, because I don't know, I would freeze at that point because I'd be like, how do I say this in a pro way and in a con way and still balance both? But I think it's just a conversation that needs to be had at some point. And as much as you're having that conversation, we can't look at the negative bit and forget that there are also positive bits to that. So yeah, trying
You're listening
answering
to
that.
Velda Chiara here on Sustain, the podcast where we talk about open source sustainability for the long haul. We were talking before the podcast, and it was such a good answer to a question I had posed. I decided to just start with that. So that was Velda talking about the ins and outs of open source. It is a tough topic. Velda Chiara is a developer, an open source practitioner, a coder, very passionate, calling in today from Nairobi, Kenya. Velda, now that I've just put you on the spot and said that that bitch should start the podcast, is there anything you'd like to change about that sentence? Because I thought it was actually a really wonderful exposition of the ins and outs of why open source is good.
No, I think it was a solid answer despite me being surprised by it. But I really do agree with everything I just said. So yeah, I stand by my answer. So it's good. I'm willing to still have like longer conversations about it and to get other insights on it. So it's still okay.
Velda is calling today as part of the OSCA series. OSCA is Open Source Community Africa, and they had their OSCA Fest last year, 2023, in Lagos, Nigeria. I wish I could have been there, but I do get the privilege of talking to people who were there last year as part of this series of the Sustain podcast. During that OSCA Fest, as you may know if you've listened to our podcast before, there was a Sustain Day. There was a conversation where during the entire OSCA Fest, some people got in the room and talked about what is open source sustainability? How do we think about sustainability in our projects? Now, Velda, am I right in thinking that you were there, even though you're coming from Nairobi, which is the other side of the continent?
Yes, I was there. I actually had a talk as well on building APIs with Django, DRF, and OpenAPI. So yeah, I was there as part of the conversation, and it was really exciting. Since I was there last year and the year before that, we got to see like a couple of people who came up with an idea of having Data Fest, a very first Data Fest Africa, which was thought of through Sustain, and it was actually really good. And they came to also share the feedback that they had. So yeah, Sustain is actually really necessary to the general open source ecosystem here in Africa. And I believe the more we have conversations like this, the more we can actually grow the open source community and also not only become users, but also creators of different products for ourselves as well.
Awesome. DataFest sounds great. It sounds like you had a really good talk. Since you worked on Django, that was one of your talks, right?
Yeah.
I want to point out that you're also part of Black Python Devs, which I'm guessing is another community. Can you tell me a bit more about it? I haven't heard about it before.
It's a fairly new community, but the work that has been done by previous people around the Black Python Devs community is still large. So the community was started by Jay Miller, and it was actually started during PyCon US. I don't know which year, but there was an open space where they had a conversation about building a community for specifically Black people, which is obviously a marginalized group. And we wanted to know, or rather he wanted to understand, how we could actually come together and whether share resources, learn from each other, and basically also provide the support system with all of us, because we're all in the same industry. We could easily share advice to make it easier for someone else, because we don't want each other to go through the same issues that we had. And we have tips and tricks to actually go over the issues that we have. And it's a Python community because all of us are Python fans, obviously. I love Python. Don't use that against you. I'm not saying any other language is not okay. I'm just saying that this in particular is my favorite. And the community is still on Discord. We have a website out, and there are a lot of people who are coming together to try to do more activities. We've had different workshops where we just hang out. So we have a particular meetup that happens every Friday, and it's called Coffee and Code, where we just meet up, talk about what we've done during the week, and if there are any issues about the community or what projects we're doing as a community, and we would like help from the community itself and anybody else would like to volunteer. That's where we have those kinds of conversations. And then we also have occasional guests for different companies. I think we also had Pamela Fox on calls as well. And we basically talk about conferences, we talk about code, we talk about writing, whatever happens around Python as well, and also share both news boards and newsletters that are actually going to help the community at large. So yeah, that's a lot or rather much about the Black Python Devs community.
I love that. I'm looking at the website right now. It's blackpythondevs.github.io. I'm seeing some familiar names, actually. Don Wages, for example. Don Wages was on this podcast a bit ago. You can check out our episode. It was number 169. That was last April. So that's super great. I love that. Velda, one of the things that we were talking about when we sent around prep docs before this show, or things that you wanted to talk about here, was how do we encourage new people to get into open source? Now, it sounds like this is a really good example of how to do that, right? Build a community, have people join it, Black Python Devs being part of that, as well as OSCA. Now, is there anything else you want to say about how to get new people into open source?
I think is also emphasize that it's not only about writing code. I think that's one of the issues that we have, because if people are not developers, then how do they fit in the ecosystem, right? Because most of the times you might have a conversation with someone and they're like, okay, I want to get into open source, but I don't write code. And they're like, okay, but I'm a product manager or a program or project manager or even a writer. So how do I get into open source? So having conversations around, because open source doesn't just rely on people writing code. There are people who are supposed to document that code. There are people who are supposed to help in running the various projects that are there. And all those people are important. And I think it's also very vital to emphasize on all the different ways that people could get involved that are not necessarily heavy on code.
I agree with that. The beginning of our conversation today, we were talking about my view, which I espoused. Is that a word? One sec. Oh, yeah. My view, which I espoused, which was that open source is often used to basically extort labor from unpaid groups of people. When we're talking about getting people who aren't coders into open source, product managers, designers, a lot of the times these people aren't recognized in the open source communities or elsewhere for their work. It's really, really difficult as a designer, for instance, to rock up to a random open source project and be like, let me design things. They're like, who are you?
Yeah.
I guess we need a logo. Do that for free.
Yeah.
Right. I'm curious. What do you think the benefits are? Do they outweigh the cost of joining open source as a non-code developer? Do you think it helps you along in your career?
Yeah, I'd say most of the people, or rather how I actually got into open source, was through having different conversations with different people around open source. I was also skeptical at first. I was like, what exactly am I doing this for free? I could be doing something else. And one of the things that came out was, okay, take a situation where you're coming into the industry for the first time and you're having difficulties in, say, even getting an internship or even getting solid experience to show. So that's one of the ways that open source could help, because it'd be like, okay, you don't have a lot of experience, but this is your track record. This is what you've done with a few resources that you've had and without actually working in the work setup. and this is what you were able to achieve. So let's have a conversation around this. So I think it also provides a way for you to actually still get a job if you're looking for it. And it also helps you to improve your skills. And I think it also helps if you're trying to improve your skills. Say you want to move from web development to whether DevOps engineering or being a data scientist. There are so many projects that would actually help you get started and also give you room to grow as a project grows, because most of these projects are not just stagnant projects. They have well thought out roadmaps, that there are steps and there are features that need to be added or incorporated to the project. So I think it's still necessary, whatever career level you're in. I think it helps you level up as well and also get more ideas from other people when you're having the discussions on GitHub and trying to get the different ideas that people have. And I think it's also a way to like have sessions where you level up and get to learn new things and new ways to do the same thing. So let's say if you're used to writing something in a particular way and somebody else says, okay, that's not the most efficient way, let's try using this other format or this other way. And you're like, oh, I hadn't thought of that. And that actually, say, speeds up performance or something. So I think it's a way to collaborate and learn and level up generally.
It's a way to level up is a really interesting and I think often used phrase around open source development. One of the problems with open source, though, is that maintainers and project owners end up getting inundated by issues and not enough money. And it's really, really tough once you've gotten to a certain level to basically get any support besides just continuing bringing people on in a large Ponzi-like pyramid scheme rat race of a thing. So I'm curious, what do you think about open source for late stage career? Does it make sense for you? And I'm asking specifically because a lot of what I hear about Africans in open source is how good it is to build your network, how good it is to get your name out there so you can land a job. I totally understand that. In a developing country especially, it's really hard to get ahead, but it's really useful to have something like open source where your work is right out there. Do you think there's a lot of benefit to being in open source when you're late stage, when you're a maintainer and you're not sure what to do next?
Well, it actually depends on the type of person you are. If you eventually want to not let the project die, you could easily use open source as a way to mentor another person who's going to help you maintain for a while, as if you want to retire or stop writing code in general. But I think it might also be a way for ensuring the continuity of the project, because nobody builds something anticipating that, okay, when I go out or when my time is done, I just want this project to die. Nobody wants that. Everybody wants growth. Everybody wants to see something that they've built become more than they actually anticipate. And I think if you're at that particular point, you should really think about embracing people who've contributed to the project and making them maintainers as well to also relieve the pressure off of you and also still have clearly outlined goals, like involve different people in the project, whether it's from the initial phase or design phase or whatever phase you're in, and try to get as many people as you can so that the pressure is not just on you. So I think that would be my best answer, trying to establish continuity through mentorship and trying to incorporate all these people who have continuously, not just once contributed to your project, but made consistent contributions to actually make the project what it is to this day.
That's amazing. Excellent answer. Veldor, what are you excited about right now in open source?
Well, I am excited about various things, but this one is in particular to Django. So one of the goals I had in last year's last quarter was to figure out a way of how I could start contributing to Django in itself. So I've built a lot of websites on Django, but I haven't really contributed to Django in itself. So it was one of the goals. And I had the opportunity to attend DjangoCon US for the first time. And it was a really amazing experience. I got to talk to a lot of people, get in touch with a lot of people. And it was such an inclusive community. I didn't feel like a stranger because that was one of my fears, going to a new place, attending an event for the first time and feeling like probably I might be the isolated person because most of these people know each other, that kind of situation. But then it was really inclusive and I got talk a lot to different people. I also had to do a talk successfully. And through DjangoCon, I got to understand they're actually putting programs in place to help people who are like me who want to start contributing to Django. So one of the programs is called DjangoNaut Space. So it's basically an 8-week program where people get together and build in the Django ecosystem through having captains and navigators, people who are around to help you specifically contribute to the framework itself or to other third-party packages. So I fortunately applied and got in. So that's what I'm working on right now. I'm working on Django Debug Toolbar and the Django project itself and trying to contribute to some of the issues they have outlined. And first things first, if you have seen the issues on Django, you know that there are a lot. And most of the times it's an overwhelming experience. It's like going to a huge project and trying to find out the particular issues that you want to resolve. And it's been so far in the third week, and so far it's good because there are people available when you have questions. You can easily ask people questions. You can easily still have the discussions on whether forum or on GitHub itself to get you aligned with what is needed on particular issues. So that's one of the advantages. But other than that, I have been contributing to open source, specifically the Python community, also through other projects like Novu. And it's kind of like learning new things at every particular point, because when I was working on Novu, it's more or less like I was working on the SDK, the Python SDK. I had never worked on SDKs before, so it's completely new code base, getting to figure out, okay, what's what makes it run, what's the documentation if I want to edit out things and to build out features. So far, I am okay. I'm doing well in this way. So I have contributed to a feature, Novu already, which is merged. And I've also successfully got another, my PR merged on Django Debug Toolbar. So I have a lot to celebrate, but at the same time, I don't want to undermine the fact that it was overwhelming at first. And there's that initial fear of, okay, what if I ask this question and it seems like an easy question and that people going through the discussion things of, this is a really dumb question. And I'll be like, oh my God, how did I not know this? You know, if I don't know it, I don't know it. And if I need help, I'm just going to say I need help. Everything else is going to have to fall back and I'm going to just collect whatever I need to collect. And whether I understand that or not, it's just simply, okay, I was just a piece of the fact that I'm going to ask this question. It might help somebody else like me who's also coming up with different fears and view the different discussions and be like, oh, okay, she managed to ask that question. I could also like ask different questions about that as well. And the more you contribute to different projects, the more you realize that things are not really as hard as they seem on first glance. So yeah, I'm kind of getting the hang of all this. I'm not saying all code bases are the same. They are not, obviously. And you're obviously going to learn a lot more. And that's the beauty of it, right? Learning more and not feeling like you're doing something redundant. It's really okay. So yeah, I'm trying to explore different Python projects. I'm going to still do that. That's what I'm excited about. And I also started a newsletter called The Storytellers by Tales, which I'm trying to consistently have on a weekly basis. So yeah, I'll be hanging out there talking about my open source agendas and what I'm working on and exciting things that I've come across. So that is what has me excited.
Velda, thank you so much for coming on. Listeners, you can find those links in the show notes. Really do hope you check out the newsletter in particular, as well as DjangoNaut Space and of course, Black Python Devs and so on. If you like this podcast, please donate. You can do so at opentext.com/sustainoss. That'd be really, really great because this is funded by someone and that someone is you. That's right. That'd be really, really great. Top of that, share this podcast with your friends, share it with your enemies, share it on your social medias, share it on your media's social. And besides that, like it wherever you find it, Apple, Spotify, etc. And if you see Velda on the internet, say hi. Velda, thank you so much again. Good luck.
Thank you.